I am going to request your participation a little more than usual. Where's the wireless mic? Did Brendan, you take it with you? Oh, there it is. Okay. When I need it. Simply because. And my question to you is, just to set the context, is this morning, is this a religious assembly or is this a kingdom assembly?
Kingdom?
Was it, Ola? Kingdom? Do you understand the difference? Tyler, is this a religious assembly or a kingdom assembly? You would hope it's a kingdom. Cheyenne? Kingdom? Anybody? It's okay if you think different, okay? We won't come down hard on you, or just because everybody said kingdom, you just presume they're right, but maybe they're not. Anybody here think it's something other than a kingdom assembly? It can be. So are you saying that sometimes it doesn't look like a kingdom assembly? Yes. How do you know? Okay, so I am hearing that this is a kingdom assembly, so that then, does that presume that we are always behaving, living like, and doing what we do as a kingdom assembly? No. But since you have agreed with me this is a kingdom assembly, anything religious has no place here, right? And so if something that is religious comes out, it's okay to say, we're not having that. Okay, so that in some ways maybe gives me permission to go outside the box, if the box even exists. Okay? Don't be afraid. That's just a religious thought if you're afraid here right now. Okay. So my title is The Kingdom of God. This is the third one. And is it religion or kingdom? So since you have helped me understand this is a kingdom assembly and not a religious one, what would a religious one look like? You can shout it out. I need some help here. What would a religious assembly look like?
Much form.
Much form? Yes, Joanne? Okay, someone praying and saying, why are you doing on Sunday? Because they get healed and get criticized, okay? That's religious. That's religion, okay? Yes, Shaina.
It would look like conformity. We'd all be the same and look the same and not look the same.
Okay, it'd be performing. So we have been going here now for 50 minutes. We've participated in singing. Did you sing to a king? Did you have that in mind? Did you sing to a conquering king? You see, religion gets, well, let's be plain, it gets boring. But when you follow a king, it's always life-giving. So, what's the greatest enemy of the kingdom of God? What is the greatest enemy of the kingdom of God? What's that? Religion? We have someone say religion. Somebody else? Yes, Joanne?
Emotions.
Emotions. Yay. Anybody else? Dan?
Pass?
Okay. Garrett?
Kingdom of evil.
Okay.
Fear of man.
So can there be one greatest enemy? Because these are all enemies of the kingdom of God. I believe the one greatest one that's been stated here, and it is religion. The greatest enemy of the kingdom of God is religion, because the religion comes out of the kingdom of evil. It does. Do I have agreement? Okay, so to enter the kingdom, you have to drop religion, because religion is contrary to the kingdom. And yet, if you're my age, more than likely you were raised in a religious environment, if you were raised in the church, and now you're trying to understand the kingdom from what you came out of. You can't do it. And so we were here last week, I would suggest or strongly suggest that more than likely we default to religion more often than we realize or like to admit. But when Jesus came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what did they have to repent of? Jacob? I know I'm drawing you in. What did he expect them to repent from? One of them was their sins, okay? Specifically. Adultery? Yeah? Okay? Yes, Joanne? Unbelief? Okay? Somebody else? Jamie? I'm making sure no one's going to sleep this morning. What's that, Olu? Their ways of life? Yes, Don? Love. Okay. So this is what I believe. All true. This is what I believe when it says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It included repenting of religion. So, is there anybody here this morning who needs to stop already and say, God, forgive me for being too religious? I'm not poking fun of you. I have been here way too long, way too deep, and I'm realizing I'm not out of it. And maybe you're not either. And so in order to hear the kingdom, you've got to say no to religion. And that requires repentance. Okay? You don't need to take 3 minutes for it. You can do that right where you're sitting and say, God, forgive me for living in religion, because otherwise I cannot hear. You cannot enter the kingdom unless religion is under the blood. Okay? So I'll give you, just as I'm speaking, that's between you and Jesus. So Jesus started his public ministry in Galilee. And he began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we are including the other things to repent of religion. I was going to show a couple of video clips, but I couldn't find a good one for the second one. But I was going to show one on the Crusades. You know, the Crusades, they started, I think, at about 900 AD and went for a couple hundred years. And basically, the Crusades were holy wars. They were a series of religious and wars sanctioned by the Catholic Church. And the aim was to capture the sacred places in the Holy Land from the Muslims who lived there. So it was intended as a war to right wrongs done against Christianity. So, Crusades, religion or kingdom? Why? It's the right answer, but why? Sam, I'm going to go ahead. Why?
Because they try to use military force.
All right. Okay, good. Go forward a number of 100 years. The reformers broke away from the Catholics, burned at the stake. Huguenots, Cranmer, died at the stake. John Huss died at the stake. Religion or kingdom? Why? Here's why. Whenever the church picks up the sword, it lays down the cross. Okay? There's a time to fight, and there's a way to fight. And at times, you got to take up the physical sword. Jesus said, take a sword with you. But most times, when the church picks up the sword to fight, they're not walking in the kingdom. So we're going to consider a couple topics, since we're in a kingdom assembly. We're allowed to touch some of these holy cows and put them on the altar. And the first one is prayer. Is prayer a religious or a kingdom activity? Depends on the... Say that again.
Depends on the attitude of the heart.
Okay. What's prayer? What's that? Communication.
I say communication with God.
Communication with God. Okay. If you do not understand prayer properly, you will not pray properly. So think about this. Prayer posture. What comes to mind? Pardon me? Submission. Okay, now I know I could be, walking into dangerous territory here, but can you find a biblical support that we must close our eyes when we pray? Pardon? So why do we? Feels good? Okay. Is it wrong to close your eyes? Is it good to close your eyes? Kids, what do you think? Emily, what do you think? Yeah? Okay. I agree. But it is so easy to make that a religious requirement. And as soon as you do, you stepped out of kingdom. Here's a Pharisee, right? Jesus gives the parable. He stands on the street corner and he says, I thank you, God. And there's the other one. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven. When Jesus broke the bread of the 5,000, it says he looked up to heaven and said, when it's a religious exercise, it's like it's you in your little corner, and God is so far away, and it's like, God, I hope that your eyes are on me, rather than looking up to heaven and having communication with God. So what's the purpose of prayer? I know there's many, maybe there's many. Ernie, what's the purpose of prayer? Okay.
Hearing God and asking him. Communication, hearing God and asking him for
what?
Whatever you need to communicate.
What's on your prayer list? What are you communicating? Why do you pray?
To hear God and to ask him for direction and for wisdom and for him to do his work in people that I care about.
Okay. Sam, why do you pray?
For direction and communication with my father.
Okay. If you do not pray, will things change? Who believes in the sovereignty of God? I do. If you do not pray, will things change? Tyler, I'll pick on you.
I don't know.
Okay, that's okay. He's not sure. I'll tell you what prayer does. The purpose of prayer primarily is to bring heaven to earth legally. Will you agree with me that back in Genesis, God had determined, had limited himself to remove himself from having dominion on the earth, and it was given to man and only to man. And so unless we, the church, pray for the persecuted church, don't expect the persecuted church to receive the treatment they should receive and to walk in the grace they need to walk in. Prayer gives you permission because of Jesus to bring heaven to earth legally. Now that's a little different than sitting huddled and cuddled in a corner hoping you can persuade God to hear your prayer because it's a good day in your life. Because that's religion. Because if you don't understand the kingdom, you don't understand prayer. If you're only about religion, you will not understand prayer. You can have communication with him. You can be filled with thanksgiving. You can praise him. But when it comes to seeing heaven come to earth legally, you've missed the mark. So, you ever found yourself in a religious prayer mindset? I have. And what's the prayer content? What should the content of your prayer be? I know I haven't opened my Bible yet, have I? So let me read it to you. You know this, but I'll read it to you anyway. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What's Jesus saying? He is walking on the earth as he's saying this, and he's saying, I want whatever is in heaven to come down on earth because I am a legal voice to do so. What I believe the Holy Spirit is doing in the 21st century, and who knows until when, he is bringing the body of Christ to an understanding of kingdom and their authority to see heaven come to earth as never before. But as long as we're religious, we won't. As one good voice said, if you see evil rampant and growing and increasing in your area, it means kingdom is absent or religion is present. Okay, if I'm shaking your foundation this morning, I'm allowed to because this is a kingdom assembly. You told me. We can't even go deep into these things. Well, let me pick on another one. Denominations. Religious or kingdom? So why are they there? What's that?
Carnal man.
Carnal man, okay. Because?
Because of religious differences.
Because of religious differences. Peter? Denominations. Religious or kingdom?
Religious.
Why?
Because they put too much emphasis on things that are of secondary importance, by and large.
Okay.
There's never any agreement.
Yes, Joanne?
It's religious because we are all one. We are the body. There are no walls. Unity. We are one in Christ.
So is that a kingdom truth?
That's the kingdom truth.
Okay. Okay. How many denominations are there?
43.
Okay, I've done the Google search. And the Google says, the search says there's 33,000. Then I read another one. It says, no, that's debunked. So I don't know how many there are. However, so efforts have been made to determine how many just Protestant denominations exist today, and that number is 33,000, supposedly. But when viewed historically and globally, there are hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of denominations that exist today. Now, what's a denomination, kids? Do you know what a denomination is? Alana, do you know what a denomination is? Let me get people want to hear.
It's like a group of people that believe the same thing.
A group of people that believe the same thing. So okay, so is your family denomination? Kimmy. Hopefully believe the same thing. So denomination is a religious group that has slightly different beliefs from the other groups that share the same religion. Wow. And so what do those in the denomination celebrate is not where they have agreement, but disagreement. It's not about one Jesus, one blood, forever, you know, forever established. It's about I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostalist, I'm a cessationist, I believe in the gifts. It's about even your view on the Trinity. It's about your view in the covenant. We've got these splits, and you think you can't split anymore, and there's another split, and sometimes a split is simple over furniture in the church. It's division. So is it fair to say that Christianity is a divided faith? Neil, I haven't picked on you yet. Is Christianity religious or kingdom? Kingdom? All right, so I threw the question to you. Let's define Christianity. What's Christianity? Did Jesus teach Christianity? Is the Christianity of today kingdom? Depends. Most often not. Oh, I'm stirring here today. I like to believe God wants us to go here. So when you say it depends, it's like what Christian doctrine? Do Catholics call themselves Christians? Do Mormons call themselves Christians? So, is Christianity religious or kingdom? Are we Christians? So are we religious or kingdom? What's that, Ola?
The first people that were called Christian in Antioch,
yeah,
who are called Christian because of the way of living.
Who called them that?
It's the people that sees them. They are Christ-like.
Right.
So we are not to call ourselves Christian. Let people around us recognize us as being Christ-like.
Okay, so let's not call ourselves Christians. So what should you call yourself?
I'm a believer.
A believer. Okay. Disciple? Don?
In a relationship with Jesus Christ only.
A relationship with Jesus Christ. What else? Christ follower? Disciple? Son and daughter of God? How about a kingdom citizen? Okay. So now here's a question, because this gets debated in religious circles, in Christian circles. Is it right or wrong for you, I'll call you a Protestant, to go with a Catholic and break bread together? What do you say, Graham?
If they're a disciple, of course. If they're a disciple, of course. We can do that.
Okay. How many of you would break bread with a Catholic? Okay, I like your answer. Why not? I meet people who would turn their back to me if I were to do so. And these people are Christians. You know, this isn't very far from our doorsteps. This isn't very far from our circles. And this doesn't make us any better than them. I have been there. When I was first saved, my wife couldn't stand me for a while. I was so legalistic. I don't know. Right, I got two. I'm dualistic. Not. Okay, now, would a Catholic break bread with you? What's that, Shana? Well, this is fact. Catholics say non-Catholics cannot be given communion. Because it's given for those, only for those who have been fully initiated into the Catholic Church. And that's been in place since the first centuries. So a true Catholic, yes, Dan? You don't get the wafer. You don't get the wafer. Okay, so a Catholic will not break bread with you. If you struggle with this, that's a religious mindset. Because now we're deciding what doctrine, what belief system allows me to fellowship with you and at what level. When I heard Joanne say, the kingdom of God is about unity and oneness. Jesus prays to the Father in John 17, I pray, Father, that they may be one as you and I are one. So to help answer whether Christianity is biblical, ask this question, is it religion or kingdom? Now, Jesus is the incarnation of God. He embodied the kingdom of God. Okay, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, joined the Son of Man, Jesus, in one. He was the incarnation of the kingdom. And so whatever he said, whatever he did, however he lived, reflected the kingdom. His walking, talking, and manifestation of what it looks like when God reigns in someone's life. So, second passage is Mark chapter 9, 38 to 41. Mark 9, 38 to 41. Now John answered him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." That's been in our Bible since it was written. And yet there's holy wars, there's crusades. There's going to the Anabaptists, say, "You guys, you believe so much in dunking, they dunked them long enough that they drowned." In the name of the kingdom? With that in their Bibles? Jesus says, don't rebuke them. If they're casting out demons in my name, they're for us. Now, I do believe that in our city, in our region, the walls are coming down, but they have not yet disappeared. But I do believe it's the heart of God for denominationalism to disappear off the radar, so kingdom can take its place. So before I bring one more, do you have a pet one that you would say, ask the question, religion versus kingdom? I'll give you the opportunity. Would you recognize it? Anybody? Maria, you got one? No? Bert? Kim? You following? Yeah? Making sense to you? Somewhat? Here's a guy who has not had what many of us have had, stuck in religion. You got a benefit, man. If you're raised in the church, you've been raised with religion. If you came in a little later, you probably missed a lot of it. You didn't miss a bad thing or a good thing. Yes, Graham.
Sometimes the way we dress indicates whether we're kingdom or whether
we're... Do I pass today?
Yeah, today, thank you, no tie, thank you.
No tie. So the morning I wear a tie, I'm religious, he says. I don't receive that. The reason I wear a tie is because I put a shirt on, it's like this, does not look good without a tie, so then I put a tie on. I used to wear it for religious reasons.
I know. But you're a good man, so we'll forgive you.
What did you say?
I said, you're a good man, so we'll forgive you there.
Can I? No, I won't.
You look good with a tie at the opening of Run Free Counseling Center. And it wasn't religious. Okay. One more. This one hits closer to home. Your sins are forgiven. Right? Cheyenne, if you're a believer, are your sins forgiven? Always? Yes, he says. Okay. Do you ever feel condemned as a believer? Okay. Is that religion or kingdom? So sometimes you allow yourself to go there? How about you? Once in a while or quite a bit? Once in a while. Anybody else? Anybody else never go to condemnation? So are you telling me that once in a while you all default to religion? Yeah? You see how sneaky that is? You know, this or this one. Things don't go well in your life. You believe you followed God, and it's just going hard. Your family still isn't together. The business, neighbor, whatever it is. Just your own ability to get on top of stuff instead of having it on your feet. And here's the thought that comes to mind. God is punishing me. You ever have that? Have you ever had the thought, God's against me? Have you had the thought? Religion or kingdom? You nailed it. Yes, Joanne. Pardon me?
People don't get healed that you pray for.
When people don't get healed that you pray for. Good one. So what do you do? Okay, what do we do with... Now, here's a man, by the way, besides of who you're praying for, he didn't ask me to do this. Pray for this family. See, for us, we can pray for Titus and believe for healing, and we don't see the change. They got to live with that.
His kingdom changed, Pastor Tom. He's overcomer.
They got to live with that.
Yeah. Yep.
God let me down. Where's the promises? We've got prophetic words. We've had dreams. It's not happening. What's the tendency? To become religious. And it's a fight to stay in kingdom. This is happening to me because there must be an open door in my life. Religion or kingdom? It's religion. Because if you are made righteous in Christ, there is no open door in your life. Because if you're asking for an open door, God will show you. Now, if you are intentionally living in sin, there might be, and the enemy's going to have some fun with you, according to his rules of fun. But when you say, Lord, search me and know my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me, when you ask that and you understand kingdom and you got this conversation with God, it's not you huddled in a corner that God might or might not answer you. And saying, I'm a kingdom citizen seeking to bring the kingdom truth to bear in this part of my world. And you've just given God permission to say, here I am, show me, tell me. And if he's not talking to you, or if he says there's nothing, or you're unable to hear it, or you're in condemnation, inflicting punishment on yourself, that's religion. Do you see how we tend to be more religious than we think? Or follow into more often than we are willing to admit. Now, this is my opinion, and I'm okay to be challenged on this. But I believe this, religion only goes back to Genesis 3. Let me explain. I can find a lot of passages, a lot of chapters, a lot of stories, a lot of texts, a lot of teaching from Genesis 3 to fall to Revelation 20 about what sin does in this world. I find a lot of chapters that speak of the Messiah that is to come, of prophets that didn't have the indwelling of the Spirit as we do, and we use that as if we are still that people. And so at best, what religion does, it's about getting back simply, don't let me undermine this, but simply in relationship with the God with whom we fell. And that's as far as we go. That's what religion does. Got to make sure my slate is clean and I'm right with God. You know what kingdom does? It adapts the first two chapters and the last two chapters too. And says, since I am now redeemed, I now get to walk into the dominion mandate the way Adam did before he fell. And therefore, I'm not going to be obsessed and overcome with always being thinking about what I'm redeemed from, but I'm about seeking to see the kingdom of God established on earth as it is in heaven. Does that make sense? Is it coming across clear? I mean, I'm not saying I'm on. Yes, bud? Okay, you go to the. You go to the foyer, okay? Let me take you to a passage. One more, Mark 9. Verse 2 to 8, where it says, now after 6 days, no, sorry, not 2 to 8, it's Mark 9, it's Matthew 9, 2 to 8. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. You see, if we think that God moves or doesn't move based upon our clear and current record with him, we are not moving back to Genesis 1 and 2. Let me try to say it a different way. As long as we think that sin keeps us from communion with God, yes, I'm saved, but I've had a bad hour, I had a fall, I defaulted, God's not hearing me, God's upset with me, I feel condemned, God must have something against me, we're still stuck in Genesis 3, though we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. This has to sink in, guys, women. I'm not minimizing living a clean life before God. But religion says this isn't working. This person's not getting well because there must be sin in your life. Jesus took care of that. The king's on the throne. And it's not up to you or me whether or not I am perfect enough in the moment to see the kingdom power be released once again like it was in Genesis 1 and 2. That's why Jesus could say, let it be according to your faith. Now, Cam, this may be hard to hear one more time, but I am believing for more for Titus. Because it's not God who's withholding. Because we can go back to Genesis 1, not sinlessness, but the dominion of the redeemed in Jesus Christ has been restored. The dominion is given back, or is now being able to be carried out by the redeemed with power because of him who's in us. So when we say your sins are forgiven, then there's no reason for someone to not get well. Let me end with a little, I think it was an attack. The last couple days, I've had this pain here. The last night my boy said to me, Israel said to me, Dad, you want me to put Kaisen to bed? Like I was like writhing in pain on the couch. I went to the bathroom because I felt like I had to throw up. And early in the day, I said, I'm not receiving this. Day before, I'm not receiving this. This is not for me to carry. This sickness is not for me. I speak life over me. And while I'm curling up or don't know how to put myself on the couch because of the shots of pain, I'm saying, get out of my body in Jesus' name. And I thought, well, if this doesn't go, I don't know who someone's going to have to speak for me on Sunday morning. I was like, no, this is not for me to carry. And about 10 minutes later, it subsided and I was permanently gone. It isn't because of righteous living. It isn't because I pleaded with God and finally said, all right. It's because of kingdom. Because of kingdom. Jesus has done it all, and he calls us to connect with him, not for a religious prayer, but to bring heaven to earth legally into a situation according to his will. And that's why we should expect healing and not it to be the exception. That's why we should expect a demon to be cast out and not to be the exception. That's why we should expect when we pray according to the will of God, in agreement with two or three, to see it come and be established instead of if we've persuaded God. You see, religion thinks one way, kingdom thinks another way. So I want to thank you this morning for allowing, maybe out of the box or beyond where we normally go interacting, as a kingdom assembly where religion is not given any room. Because when the kingdom comes, darkness has no place. When religion gets to remain, the enemy has the upper hand. So Brent, come and close the service, however God's leading you. Thank you for coming this morning. It's been for me a pleasure to meet every Sunday, to be about the kingdom, and Lord willing, we'll continue there in weeks to come, because I believe we as the body of Christ have more to go to stay in the kingdom way of life, of thinking, and of living. Brent, go ahead.